It's Monday morning. I'm Dean Rotbart, host of Monday Morning Radio.
And I'm Lim Lewis, host of Ranchcast with Lim Lewis.
This week, on a special joint edition of our podcasts, Lem and I are going to be blending the interests of my audience, business owners and entrepreneurs, with the interests of Lem's audience, ranchers, farmers, and other rural business people. Lem is an alumnus of Wizard Academy, and he and I first met at my Reputation Tool Chest course in February of last year. Lem is a fourth-generation Texas rancher who's dedicated his career to helping folks in rural America, especially Texas, buy and sell ranch and other rural properties. From the time I first met Lem, I was impressed with his commitment to preserving and promoting the ranching lifestyle.
I'm a longtime avid listener of podcasts, including Monday Morning Radio. And Dean's passion, along with my passion for conveying valuable information via podcast, is similar. Not coincidentally, as Dean and I were talking, we conceived of doing a regular podcast, Ranchcast with Lim Lewis, that, like Monday Morning Radio, would provide listeners unique content that helps them in practical ways, while also celebrating the rural producers' important contributions to the American economy and the unique American way of life. With Dean's help, I launched Ranchcast in early 2017 and have styled much of what we do at Ranchcast after Monday Morning Radio.
Lem's going to be joining me from time to time on Monday Morning Radio.
And Dean will be joining me on Ranchcast
when we find interesting guests who appeal to both our audiences, business owners and rural landowners.
This week is a perfect example. Our guest, Michelle Payne, has been breeding and judging dairy cattle as a registered Holstein breeder since the age of 9. She is one of North America's leading experts connecting farm and food.
That's a hot, hot trend at the moment, Lem, in restaurants, supermarkets, and all sorts of other retail outlets.
Michelle founded her consulting company, Cause Matters Corp., in 2001 to help scientists, dietitians, and rural producers effectively communicate with foodies, farmers, ranchers, and others, especially when they are passionate about agriculture, health, and nutrition topics. A much-in-demand public speaker, Michelle prides herself on being a change agent and community builder.
Today happens to be an extra special day for Michelle because it coincides with the official publication of her latest book titled Farm Truths From Farm to Table. Michelle explains that she wrote the book, which has the subtitle 25 Surprising Ways to Shop and Eat Without Guilt, because she cares deeply about giving consumers and farmers alike maximum choice.
Michelle is a successful entrepreneur who has blended her passions and the causes she cares most deeply about with the demands and realities of the business world. Dean and I are delighted to welcome her to Ranchcast and Monday Morning Radio and be among the first to cast a spotlight on her new book, Farm Truth.
Michelle, good to have you with us.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm excited to chat with you.
Well, today's a very special day. It's the official publication date of Food Truths From Farm to Table. How do you feel when you hold that book in your hand and you reflect on all of the effort that went into publishing it?
Well, I feel beyond excited because Food Truths From Farm to Table has started about 4 years ago, actually, with the idea coming to my head to provide a guide to the grocery store when I finished my first book, which was No More Food Fights. So to see this come to fruition and hold the baby in my hand, so to speak, is really wonderful. And I think it's a tribute to the 55 plus people that I interviewed that contributed to the book in some way, shape, or form, which included farmers and ranchers and dietitians, food scientists, and other folks that were experts in the wellness community.
Michelle, what inspired you to write the book? What do you hope it will achieve for your readers?
Well, what I'm really hoping that the book will achieve for readers is to bring more clarity to the grocery store and help them understand an unheard voice in the highly sensationalized food discussion. I'm a farm girl. I'm originally from southern Michigan, from a registered Holstein farm there. I still have some of those beautiful black and white critters running around my front yard and it passed to my daughter. So this is a very deep, heartfelt mission, if you will, for me. And throughout the course of my career as a professional speaker in the farming and ranching arena and then moving into dietetics, I have found that there's a great disconnect between the farm and food sides of the plate. And so really what I try to do is to bridge that. And this new book, Food Truths from Farm to Table, is really designed to help people understand 25 food truths to help them shop and eat without guilt. And it's about translating some of the science of food production through the personal stories of people that are out there doing it every day.
Michelle, I am a urban dweller, have spent really all of my life in big cities, and Lem is a rural dweller. He's a fourth generation rancher. So Lem probably knows more of what you're talking about than I do. When I go to my local Kroger or Safeway, I guess I don't even know what food confusion I have. What is, for us urban dwellers, what are some of the most common areas of food confusion? What don't we know that we should know? Or what do we think
Well, sure. And there's a lot of folks out there, probably more of the female variety, that feel very guilty when they go to the grocery store because they feel like they're not doing the right things for their family. When you look at the labels that are on packages, I don't know if you've ever looked at a label and wondered what that really meant. So, for example, antibiotic-free milk, antibiotic-free chicken. It's an interesting misnomer because all milk and chicken that is grade A USDA in the grocery store here is antibiotic-free. And so some of the marketing ploys that have been out there have led people to be confused, feel guilty about their farm. And just as you had mentioned, two-thirds of the U.S. population lives in cities today. 98.5% of the United States population does not own a farm or ranch. And so it's hard to bring those two worlds together because we all eat, right?
Yeah.
So food is of interest to all of us, but for those of us that are out there producing it and working in that arena, we take it very personally and we look at it very differently than folks that are in urban setting. It doesn't mean that people that are in suburbia and cities are wrong. It just is a different perspective.
So you're kind of talking about the perspective of what we read on the labels and we think we're buying that is actually maybe not even necessarily true from the perspective of what the farmers and the ranchers are producing.
Yes, that's exactly right, because it's half-truth many times or it's a mistruth. And so what I did was I interwove 25 food truths throughout the entire book. And there's about, if you're a research nerd, you will be glad to know there's 119 citations. And I really did have 55 plus experts that I interviewed.
Michelle, would you mind going ahead? Go ahead and cite those 119 citations.
Yeah, you're funny.
All right.
You can read the bibliography of the book. They're all there, trust me.
Listen, I had a guest on not very long ago who has more than 200 franchise locations. She's a very bright, successful CEO, and she said to me she has more than 200 franchise locations. I said, would you mind naming them for me? And she was totally caught off guard and thought I was serious. So I'm glad you realize that I wasn't serious. Go ahead.
Well, had you asked me to list the contributors, I probably would have started naming names. But the citations, no, I do not have those memorized. But I did work really hard to be sure they were balanced and not biased. But, you know, like I was saying, I address myths throughout the grocery store. So there's 9 sections of the grocery store. So everything from milk and eggs to produce to meat to the baking aisle to snacks and convenience food to the deli and fast food service. And the 25 food truths include things such as hormones are in everything. That's a surprise in a society where 80% of the population thinks that food needs to be labeled if it has DNA in it, when in fact, DNA is in everything. And so we looked at a lot of the different issues that are seen across the grocery store where people have questions. So everything from antibiotics to chemicals being naturally in food, to genes being the coolest ingredient on the plate, to fun things like what I call peck sniffery. There's actually a chapter in the book entitled, Are You Practicing Peck Sniffery? Believe it or not.
And that is what again?
Peck sniffery is actually hypocrisy. It's another word for hypocrisy.
Okay.
And
I like
my point, yeah. You know, my point, as a business person, we surely appreciate that we sometimes intend to have one practice, but what happens in real life is another practice. And as food consumers, I don't know about both of you, but the reality in many people's lives is we intend to exercise 5 days a week, but what really happens is we usually end up, in my case, consuming chocolate 3 of those days of the week and getting to the gym maybe 3 of the days, right?
I'm sorry, I was just going to say, you consume chocolate just 3 days a week?
It's a good week because I'm only consuming it 3.
Okay.
But the point in are you practicing Pecksniffery as far as food is we have a lot of concerns about what's happening in food and the chemicals that are in food. And chemicals occur naturally in food. And one of the items that I cited was the concerns around bleached flour. I had one person that I interviewed that was very concerned about her wheat being bleached in flour. And my point that I came back to her and had a conversation was about, because she lived in the Milwaukee area, I said, well, what's in your water? Do you know that your water's treated and that your water has to be treated? And by the way, I'm not sure about the chemicals that are poured on your head, but you might want to check those out as well, because, for example, hair dyes and hair bleaches are not regulated nearly as closely as what food is regulated. So that's a fun example of Pecksniffery. I don't know if it's one that makes any sense to you all, but there's a lot of different issues that are covered in the book.
Well, you kind of got sandbagged here in the sense that you got two guys on the phone, and it sounds to me like, although this book may very well appeal to men, especially those who are concerned about what they're feeding themselves and their families, it sounds like a lot of this is of great concern to women. Lem, I wanted to ask you a question. Your wife is a real foodie. I mean, she loves gourmet food, and she's a great cook, and she's a great baker. Do you get the sense that she is attuned to some of these food myths?
Well, you know, believe it or not, she is constantly researching that type of thing and is very in tune with a lot of what I hear Michelle saying. And I actually tried to get her to join us on the phone call today, but we couldn't make the schedule work. I think she would have been
good.
A great benefit, because she's really into a lot of this. And I kind of feel it feels a little bit close to home for me, of course, because we follow as a family, try to follow with a little bit of Pecksniffery as best we can, to eat good food and use good products. And so this is very interesting to me. It is very close to home. So
neat. So, Michelle, when our listeners rush out today would be a good day for them to buy Food Truths from Farm to Table, wouldn't it? Because that would sort of help with the Amazon and other rankings, right?
Yeah, it sure would. And I'm very thankful Food Truths from Farm to Table was actually named as a number one new release back in January on Amazon. So we are focusing on trying to get as many folks out there and ordering the book this week to help with the bestseller types of ratings. So I'd love to have anybody who has any interest in it. It's also available as exam copies for academia. So if you have anyone in your life who works on faculty, the book is available for collegiate courses as well.
Michelle, what does it mean, since the book is only out today, what does that Amazon designation mean? How'd you get that, and what does it represent?
It means that it was listed as a number one new release in one of the categories that it was listed in back in January. And basically, it's hard to explain in a succinct way, but Amazon's rankings changes on an hourly basis. They update them depending on orders and so forth. So, and I'm not behind the scenes on all of that, but you can imagine the smile on my face the day when I opened up Amazon and I saw number one new release listed next to Food Truths from Farm to Table. It was a good day.
I suspect the shorthand of it is that they're expecting it to be a big seller and a successful book. So that's wonderful. Tell us a little bit about who some of these 55 farmers, dietitians, veterinarians, doctors, and other experts are. And what was your criteria for selecting these people?
Well, my criteria, let's start there, was that they had firsthand knowledge of the particular area that we were looking at. I'm a big believer that credibility comes with the experience and having your hands dirty, so to speak, as I'm sure Lem can appreciate. So what I did is I first broke down the issues that I wanted to be sure that we had covered. Some of those food truths that I had listed, and I made sure that sustainability was in there, and I made sure that price was in there, and choice was in there, and so forth. So I broke those down and then identified exactly how we were going to kind of organize the book. Believe it or not, it's 45 chapters, which sounds like a lot, but they are short chapters designed to be an approachable read. And then I started identifying people that I knew. So, for example, Doctor of Veterinary Medicine that's in the book is Kathy Swift, and she also happens to be an artist, and she owns an art shop as well as being a practicing veterinarian and a mother. She was somebody that I had known through social media and gotten to know her personally. And then I stepped back and I started looking for people that I didn't know in other arenas. So I actually brought in a rancher because I saw what he had posted about foot rot on Facebook, and I contacted him and talked to him for a little bit and asked him if I could use it, and he allowed me to do that. And then there's other folks that, for example, dietitians that I have gotten to know throughout the course of my career speaking, like Leah McGrath, who's out in the Carolinas, and she's a retail dietitian. And so she's very familiar with the myths that are in the grocery store for both men and women. So I asked her and I spent some time interviewing. And then there's my friend Dale up in Canada, who was my canola grower, who has a daughter with childhood diabetes, as I found out during a Skype interview. And he was sharing how his daughter has a much higher quality of life because of GMO, because all of her insulin is a GMO-derived insulin. So I was interviewing him for one section of the book. He actually ended up in two sections once I found that out. So wide variety of criteria, but certainly making sure that they have the expertise to bring to the table. And then folks might also be interested. You can go onto my website at find these at causematters.com, or you can follow M. Payne Speaker on Facebook. I have done Facebook Live interviews with about 20 different contributors at this point.
Awesome. Go, so
you can
Michelle,
see them yourself.
Repeat those two URLs because it goes by quickly on the radio.
Absolutely. My website is causematters.com, okay. And you can go to the Food Truths from Farm to Table page there. And all of my social media sites are at M. Payne, so M-P-A-Y-N, Speaker, S-P-E-A-K-E-R.
Awesome. And let me point out that you do not have an E at the end of your last name, Payne. So there's,
I do not.
There's no E there. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break here. You're listening to a joint Monday morning radio Ranchcast edition. And our guest this week is author of Food Truths from Farm to Table, Michelle Payne. She is also the head of Cause Matters Corp. When we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit more about Cause Matters Corp. and my co-host this week, Lem Lewis. I know, Lem, you've got some questions for Michelle pertaining to some of the topics in her book that would be of special interest to rural producers, farmers, and ranchers and the like. So we will do that in about a minute. So don't go anyplace. We'll be right back.
Do you like to look your best in public? Most of us do. Yet when your writing contains grammar and structural errors, it's like standing in front of a professional audience with your fly unzipped. Doesn't much matter what you say, because no one will be focused on your words. EditorInChief.com offers same-day and next-day copy editing services from a staff of award-winning veteran editors. Whether you're crafting a blog post, business report, ebook, or any other written communication, EditorInChief.com will make certain that readers are focused on your content and not your grammar skills. Find us at editor-in-chief.com. That's editor-in-chief.com. Or phone us at 1-866-NEWS-070, extension 7. That's 1-866-NEWS-070, extension 7. Editor-in-chief.com is a service of News Bios.
Wizard Academy is a school for business people who are imaginative, courageous, and ambitious. Our 2 and 3 day classes stimulate new ideas and provide perfect solutions. Wizard Academy is a business retreat center, an island of outside-the-box thinking on top of a plateau 900 feet above Austin, Texas. We have a room waiting for you right now in one of our student mansions. Attend a class. You'll become friends with at least a dozen people and return home a happier, better, more energized you. WizardAcademy.org.
Welcome back to our joint edition of the Ranch Cast with Lim Lewis and Monday Morning Radio. We are pleased to have with us today Michelle Payne of Cause Matters. Glad to have you all back. Michelle, among a lot of the great topics in your book, there's a few I think would stand out with special interest to our listeners, among those being animal welfare, organic farming, soil health, and sustainability. And I was wondering if maybe you could tell us a little more about those issues.
Sure. I will be glad to. One of the top three food truths is that animal welfare is an hourly concern on farms and ranches. As I'm sure that anybody who is out there working with cattle or who have worked with farm animals, you can appreciate exactly how meaningful that is. But for anyone else who's listening, is essentially it boils down to that a farmer or rancher is trying to care for animals in the best way they know possible based on their expertise and the team that they have in place that includes veterinarians and nutritionists and so forth. So in the book, I share numerous stories, including a couple from ranchers. I include some of my own personal stories as a Holstein breeder in dealing with down cattle. And I also shared a number of very graphic, frankly, experiences from hog and poultry people about why we do some of the practices that we do. So that covers animal welfare. And then let's see, your other question was about sustainability. Is that right?
Sustainability being one of them, yes.
Yes. Okay. So food truth number 12 is that sustainability is complex and essential to family businesses. As anyone who is in business can appreciate, certainly you have to be able to survive in order to continue the business. What's a little different about farming and ranching is that we're working directly with the land and the water and the air and the overall environment. So that's a critical component. And many times we can be criticized because people see some of the practice that we do as being negative to sustainability, when in fact 75% of the wildlife in the States is actually found on farms and ranches, and it is a key concern for us because, as any farmer or rancher knows, you have to leave the land better than what you found it. And one of our goals is to pass it on to future generations. So I would boil that all down to that sustainability is not just about the environment. It's also about taking care of the community. It's also about taking care of the business, and so that the business can survive and continue contributing to both the environment and the community in a positive way.
I find a lot of the people that I deal with that is at the forefront of the importance to them is taking care of the land and their animals. And there seems to be a disconnect with a lot of people that are not involved with it, that animals are not really as high a priority as what they really are, is what I find them to be on farms and ranches, because people know this is their lifestyle and this is if they have to take care of it. And I'm totally in agreement with what you said. What can you tell us about soil health and organic farming that you found?
Well, I have food truth number 15. Soil is a farm's greatest asset. And it's interesting because that ended up being one of the biggest topics throughout the book was the care of the land, whether it's from a cropping standpoint or whether it's from a pasture standpoint. And then addressing the issues around organic production, which is a great production style if you choose to do that. And it certainly is a person's choice to choose that in a grocery store. But food truth number 5, so it's right up there as one of the most important ones, is that organic farming is about production methods, not nutritional value. I actually have a couple of organic folks, one of which is a dairy farmer out in California that was converting to organic, that she shared some of the things that they had to go through, as well as a couple of folks that have both organic and conventional farms in Minnesota and Nebraska. So basically what it boils down to is that how a family chooses to farm is their choice, right?
Exactly.
And how a parent or a grocery store shopper chooses to buy their food is their choice. There are more than two right answers in this discussion. Unfortunately, there's been some negativity around conventional and modern day agriculture and larger agriculture and some perceptions around nutritional value when it comes to organics. And I would just encourage people to evaluate what their own personal standards are. And I continue to go back to that throughout the book to think about what standards are, because in my opinion, that if you have standards of your own, and those would be social, ethical, environmental, and health standards, when you go to the grocery store, you can decide what's right for you. Personally, for my family, we don't buy organic because that doesn't fit my standards. But I have friends who do, and I have friends who farm organically, and my answer is more power to them because it's about choice. And personally, as an agriculturalist, when it comes down to soil health, I don't know that one practice is more effective with the land than another, because there's advantages and disadvantages to both production systems.
You know, on a recent episode of Ranchcast, I interviewed a rural producer, Dale Fike, with Fike Cattle Company of Nebraska. Mm-hmm. And he's a bit of a role model for holistically managed and independently owned farms and ranches. And Dale's utilizing methods such as no-till farming, mm-hmm. cover crops, and ultra-high-density grazing. He's been able to increase his productivity and decrease his use of chemicals and also decrease his numbers of acres that he's using to farm with this holistic approach. And I wanted to get your opinion about if you think the steps to a holistic approach such as that result in a healthier, you know, food for the consumer, and if you're an advocate for holistic farming and ranching.
I'm an advocate for farmers and ranchers to have choice. I think when you look at some of the holistic farmer or farming practices and ranching practices, I know very large operations that have had used cover crops for many years. Likewise, in my area in Indiana, no-till is very popular. I'm originally from Michigan. The soil is very different in southern Michigan. It's a sandy loam soil. I think the reality that we have to face is that there's different types of farming and ranching practices that are applicable in different parts of the country. And, you know, I'm sure the same is true in your county. The soil is very different in the northern part of the county than it is in the southern part of the county. There's different ways to be able to manage that effectively. And I think what it boils down to as far as healthy food is making sure that we allow farmers to have the tools that they need to make the choices to raise the healthiest food possible. And that looks very different on different farms and ranches.
Michelle, I'm missing something because I'm not the rural fellow on the cast. I'm the urban fellow. But you're an advocate for farmers to have choice. But what stands in the way of that now? Why is that even an issue? What would prevent a farmer from having a choice?
Well, that's a great question. And we were getting a little technical there because we were having fun talking agriculture. Quite frankly, there's an increasing pressure on choices for farmers and ranchers from regulations such as water, environmental regulations, legislative regulations around animals, and so forth, to activist claims specifically around what we're doing with animals. There's a wide variety of retailer and food service responses to some of those activist claims that have made it difficult. So I'll give you a quick example, and this is going at a completely different angle than what we were at. There's a potato that has been approved. It's a GMO potato. It's actually really cool technology. It was gene edited, if you will, so that it turned off the browning gene.
Okay.
And the same is true with the Arctic apple. And McDonald's came out and said that they would never serve French fries from this particular potato because it was genetically altered. And by the way, food truth number 10 is genes are the coolest ingredient on your plate. And I am firmly convinced after writing 100,000 words that that is a very true statement, because it's amazing. When you step back, when I had to make a list of all the things that genetics touches in food, I mean, it's amazing. You know, from animal comfort and animal welfare to reducing food waste, because when you think about brown potatoes, it's a huge problem. And 40% of food in this country is thrown away. 40%.
Interesting.
And so when you step back and you start thinking about some of those implications, it's pretty far-reaching, and they're all interconnected.
So let me ask you this. One of the things you do, now again, you have a company, you're an author, and obviously your book is consistent with your company, but your company is called Cause Matters. And among the things, you basically will consult scientists, dietitians, ranchers, farmers, others. You know your company better than I do, so if I get this wrong, tell me. But in part, what you say is helping them find their voice in conversation with moms, healthcare professionals, chefs, and other people. So, I mean, you basically are going to take maybe somebody who likes a GMO potato or an apple, thinks it's perfectly safe, and help them explain themselves to others. Have I got that right?
Potentially. What we really focus on is, I mean, my slogan that's been on my logo for years and years is connecting gate to plate. So what that really means is that we're all about growing an understanding of food and farm. And I work primarily as a professional speaker. I'm a certified speaking professional, blah, 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 blah.
By the way, when you're on stage, you don't say yada, yada, yada too often, right?
I do actually.
Oh, okay.
It's highly entertaining. If you ever saw me speak, you probably would be shocked with the things that I do on stage, because sometimes I kickbox, sometimes I throw plates. Other times we dance. You know, it's just a matter of what fits the mood. But what I try to do is to help people speak from the intersection of farm and food, head and heart. So yes, science communications is a part of that, but also helping food groups communicate. For example, dietitians, my research shows, are frustrated because people don't know what dietitians do. And so that's a challenge. So there's a lot of folks that are around the food plate that need to be interconnected. And in my mind, it really is about the intersection of head and heart. Not only has food become incredibly emotional, farming and ranching is the most emotional out there, though you would never hear farmers and ranchers say that, but it's a deeply personal occupation. And then you bring in the head component, and we need critical thinking skills. And when you look at the farmer and rancher perspective, the agriculture perspective, we have a tendency to dump data on people and to puke science on their shoes. Nobody likes to have puke on their shoes.
I like your metaphors. I like that. I like your vocabulary. So let me ask you this question. Again, sort of along the lines of what you do with Cause Matters, I suspect that you pointed out that 2/3 of the U.S. population really is urban, and that most of those people have never even been on a farm or a ranch. Now, what do you think happens when city dwellers like me spend some time on a farm or a ranch? How does it change their relationship to the food they eat?
Well, first, I would strongly suggest that you do it, that any business operators that are out there, if you want a true respect for entrepreneurship that involves millions and billions of dollars of risk, go out to a farm or ranch.
Love that aside. Okay.
I actually interviewed a American Heart Association representative who happens to be a speaking colleague, and I interviewed her specifically around what she felt when she first went to a farm, and this happened to be a large dairy farm that she went to. And long story short, it was basically opposite of her expectations. She found people just like her. So what I would guess is if urban dwellers would take the time to go out to a farm or ranch, or even connect with them on social media, if you would take that time, you would be shocked at what you found. Because more often than not, when you get to know the people that are working with the land and animals, you discover what they're doing is trying to raise food for the right reason. They just, unfortunately, don't like to talk a whole lot. So it's a bit of a challenge sometimes when we have all of these other pressures that are perhaps promoting different values in agriculture than what farmers and ranchers really have.
Be interesting, Lem, down the road for us to see what response we would get if you and I hosted a day on the farm or a day on the ranch aimed at some of our urban CEOs and entrepreneurs to come out and meet their entrepreneurial counterparts who are rural producers. I mean, Michelle, I think that's an interesting point that in many ways they might find more similarities than they think. What do you think, Lem?
I think you're absolutely right. I think that would probably help bridge a lot of gaps, so like Michelle's talking about. And it kind of leads me to a question, Michelle, and there may not be a real easy answer to this, but what do you see as being the biggest hindrance to that gap between the consumer and the producer?
I think that's a great question and boils down to communication. So I think first, farmers and ranchers, everyone in agriculture needs to take responsibility for the fact that we have not talked about what we do and we have not communicated in a way that's been effective with others. Certainly, efforts are improving around that. However, because of the fact that most folks on farms and ranches are extremely busy, we'd rather deal with the land and animals than people. We're taught to be extremely modest, we're highly stubborn, and we're very independent. So that I would place on the farmer and ranch side of the plate. And then on the other side of the plate, whether you're talking about foodies or chefs or dietitians, I would really ask how much science you understand about food. Because one of the challenges that we have is helping people understand things such as bacteria and viruses and antibiotics and chemicals and hormones and highly technical topics that can be difficult to understand if you don't have an appreciation for science. And I can tell you that without question, that was the hardest thing. When I wrote 100,000 words at first, it's been distilled down to about 75,000. But when I first wrote the book, that was the hardest thing for me, was to try to bridge the disconnect, not only between farm and food, but between science and food.
Right. Well, I appreciate the answer.
Lem, I actually think that's a good note for us to conclude our conversation with Michelle. We don't want to keep her too long or our listeners. I do want to encourage, I honestly, Michelle, having, you know, I prepared for this interview, but having talked to you, the urban dweller of me is far more interested in really getting my hands on the book, which is just out today, Food Truths from Farm to Table, than I was before talking to you. I think it sounds fascinating. I suspect Lem and his wife will relate well to it. So I think you've, to use a baseball metaphor, I think you've hit a home run on this program, Michelle, in terms of whetting the appetites of both the business people and the farm producers, who are also obviously business people. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you. And I sure hope to see you on Amazon ordering Food Truths from Farm to Table. And please connect with me online at causematters.com or at MPainSpeaker across Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn and you name it, I'm probably there. I always love to hear from readers and listeners, so I'd be delighted to hear from you. And more importantly than anything, please remember that food should be about celebration, not confusion.
Awesome. Lem, any last words, or should we go ahead and just wrap it up?
Yeah, I think I just want to say thank you so much, Michelle. It was a pleasure, and I can't wait to get my hands on a copy of the book.
That ditto.
Well, thank you.
You can find more about Lem Lewis and RanchCast at RanchCast.com. His business site is TheRanchBroker.com. You can listen to other editions of Monday Morning Radio always from MondayMorningRadio.com. And that will wrap it up for this week's podcast. I'm your host, Dean Rothbart, for Lem Lewis. Have a great week.
Good luck, all the best, till we hear from you again.